Okay, so I think everybody knows what we're doing. We're not following a perfect format because the person affirming is actually going to follow. The way this is going to go, they're each going to make an introductory statement. It's independent of what the other says. After that, Sean will lead with a point. He gets 30 seconds to present his point. Dave will respond. We'll follow that sequence until we run out of time. It's the job of all of you to sort of take notes. Critique, compare that against what you think they're going to each say. Listen as they debate, because this will be representative of conversations we might find ourselves having. Although we're trying to give this a little structure to move it along quicker. That's the only purpose for the structure. So for each of you, address them out there, not one another, as you respond to your points. So, all right, Sean. Ready for your introductory statement? There you go.
I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know my parents. I know all the genealogies before me. I know where all of them came from. I can see it. I can see the birth certificates. I see the historical evidence. I know where the world comes from. I'm a scientist. I've seen, you know, the geological studies. I've seen all the evidence of why and how we exist. And in none of the scientific studies, measurements, records, historical records, is there any metaphysical entity required for any of those things. There's no reason that a god should exist.
Wow. David,
that was 60 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was actually counting down where you could see it right here.
Oh, what?
Well, as to what he just said, there is no scientific proof with it beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were anything but created, that we evolved, that we came from something else. So you have to take the scientific evidence that he talked about and temper it with faith. You have to put faith into the scientific evidence, since it is not concrete in its basis. And if you look at the natural world, you can see that there are too many ways that it just couldn't happen, no matter how many chances a world had to go through to come to the conclusion. It would be impossible for it to happen.
God is a construct. God exists in society today because people decided to create God, or a mythical being or what have you, because they lacked the authority to get control of the populations they were in, or they lacked the understanding to describe the things that were happening around them. Angry people with hammers create lightning. You know, somebody puts a fork in the ground and the earth shakes. This is where gods come from. This is what society has created to try to explain what they don't understand. And whether it's, you know, a giant, God that created the entire universe, or it's, gnomes underground pushing up mountains, it's just stories that are either told to children to explain things that the adults don't understand, or it's stories that rulers or priests or whatever have created to try to control the populace or maintain order,
Was it counted down?
Oh, yeah.
Can you respond
down
right to that?
The fact that that every society on earth looks to a higher being until they're told not to look to a higher being, points to the possibility that a higher being exists. The fact that there are moral values that are irrefutable in all people, even atheists, will come to a point where they will strike a value that they say is you don't cross this line. It had to have come from some place. If it came from man, there's just too many, or groups of men, there's just too many of them. It points back to a creator that understood.
If we're talking about morality, morality is again one of these convenient constructs that we created. The reason you say, okay, well, to kill somebody is bad, or to hurt somebody else is bad. If you look at it from a large societal view, well, to kill somebody else, I don't want to be killed. I don't want anybody to kill me or anybody that I care about, so I'm going to go ahead and agree to the rule that it's a bad idea to kill anybody because I don't want anybody to do it to me. Same thing with I'm not going to steal anybody else's stuff because I don't want them to do it to me. So it's just a law of balancing out this reciprocal, hey, don't do it to me because I won't do it to you. It's kind of a balancing act. And along with that morality, if there was a God, then and we're assuming that, you know, all the gods are, you know, supposed to be good, unless we're talking about an evil god, and most gods we talk about are nice, good, happy gods, then why would evil exist in the first place? I mean, if you're all-powerful, why wouldn't you just create a world that is only good, where only good could exist, and why even create the possibility of an evil?
I wouldn't let that one pass, though.
I had to have been listening real close to not let that one pass, but I was never on a debating team. You need to start with it again. As I started out with, it's still whether you believe in God or whether you believe in evolution or whether you believe man just existed, it still comes down to a matter of faith. And you have to go back and look at the evidences. And if there is reasonable evidence to prove that there is a God, then you should believe in that. If there is reasonable evidence that isn't contradicted, then you probably ought to believe in that. But I believe that if you look at the complexity of the cells, which is the basis for Darwinism, which is the basis for the simplicity of the cell, that it could have evolved from nothing, from muck, then you would have to understand that in looking at the cells today, and what we know about cells today, that it is much more complex. There are proteins, there are DNA, and don't you use your learning on here, and other things, and if you take out one of those little pieces, then your whole theory falls apart.
All right. So what do you all think? Offer your critiques, comments, observations. Questions? You have a clarifying or a follow-up question on anything you heard him say?
We can get a rebuttal to the morality question, which okay. I'd like to hear a rebuttal because I've been told that one before. When I have said, why are you a good person? Because you should be a good person. But why? Because you just should be. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, why? You just should be.
You guys, did you recognize that from your reading?
Yeah.
Anybody? That's commonly called the argument from morality. Yeah. The problem, if you were going to argue against that, you know, in other words, the case that's being made is the fact that
that because all societies everywhere have some sense of moral values and things like that, some people even go so far as to say, I don't agree with this particular concept, that there's somewhere out there this universal underlying moral code or moral principle that applies across time and societies and things like that, and that is in fact evidence for God, because if you take that argument deeper, it's because most facts are established in a more traditional sense. In other words, cats eat mice is a fact. And it's established by the fact that we can go out and observe that there are many animals. Some of those animals are called cats. We've observed those animals. They're called cats, eating animals called mice. Therefore, cats eat mice. Morality is not descriptive. Morality is prescriptive. It doesn't say what the world is. It says what the world ought to be. And it implies an existence aside from materialism. And we're going deep into the philosophy now. But it is an argument for the existence of God. Why do we even think that way to begin with? Would be the thing that Sean was explaining, that it's actually just a way of organizing ourselves into communities, societies, things like that. And I would say it's not a good argument because, in fact, morals differ sharply across times and societies. They very much do. Does that make any sense? Go ahead. Yes.
Your last sentence is awesome, but I was. Can you use the argument? Babies and toddlers don't know right from wrong.
Right.
So it's not just an innate quality that we have. We haven't evolved with an innate quality to be moral.
Okay.
There has to be.
So we are. We are. I think if Sean were to debate it, he would say that you're right. Children aren't born with it, so it's not being imparted to them by God, and that they're in fact taught that. That's part of socialization. We even have that word for it.
I would argue the other way, though, which you just said. It is being taught from God because children are taught it by other humans who have learned it from somewhere. There has to be a beginning standard.
Wait. You just argued two different things. You said that the child learns it from another human. But then you said that doesn't the other human learn it from another human?
Yes.
And doesn't that other human learn it from another human?
Yes. But
which human didn't have a parent that taught him those things?
Adam. And his father taught it to him.
Mm-hmm. Were I still arguing, I would just say that it developed after a long series of... like
trial and error.
Yeah.
Survival of the society.
Hey, killing each other is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Let's not do it anymore.
Yeah.
Just as Sean put it. We finally figured out that, you know what, stealing each other's stuff is stupid. Let's quit it.
Altruism.
Yeah. Well, altruism, I think, is doing good without any expectation of reciprocity, getting something in return. So, other things, did you hear what you thought you'd hear?
Yeah, the opium of society, opium of the masses. And,
yes, very communist.
Spelling there for a minute.
But is it not a valid point? Have people not used religion to control large populations?
Absolutely.
Does anybody in this room disagree with that? So is he making a valid point? Okay. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. That was fun.
Yeah, right.
So now all of you talk. I put conversation starters up here for you. Can the existence, if you're going to debate it, can the existence of God be demonstrated?
I think even before we would argue that, I think the crux of it all is the bottom one, does it rest on faith alone? Because whether you're an atheist or whether you're a Christian or whether you're whatever you believe, you're believing that on faith.
Right, but in Western society, we go left to right, top to bottom. So can the existence of God be demonstrated?
I was going to say something about what you said. Can I say that? Or
sure.
Go ahead. But atheists will argue that with you, that it's not just faith on your
but all they have is theory. Big Bang theory.
It's been proven.
Yeah.
But that's not true. I mean, so not true.
Well, these were meant to be pretty simple yes or no questions. Can the existence of God be demonstrated?
Yes.
Yes.
Demonstrate it.
No.
Sunrise.
No.
Sunset.
Can I answer no? No. Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Going from top to bottom, right to left.
Yeah.
I know. Left to right, whatever.
If you can demonstrate it in the way we mean the word demonstrate here, then please do so.
Particle of God right now, so once we find that,
we
have the answer.
Okay, so does everybody understand the problem here? I'm sort of showing you what you're up against here. You can't, in that sense, in the sense that human wisdom wants to evaluate, you really can't demonstrate, and it's not refutable in the sense of something that would meet the standards of like a testable hypothesis or something like that. Yes, sir.
Going along with what they were talking about with does it rest on faith alone, also from both sides, you can just as equally say can the inexistence of God be demonstrated?
Right.
Can the inexistence of God be refuted? And you have to answer the same way. You cannot prove 100% either side of it.
This is true. But
I mean, I know it doesn't
that's part of the weakness of it. Yeah. So.
But I think the people on the side of the existence of God are always on the defensive.
Yeah.
You're always on the other end of it, and you're expected to prove your point, and then we don't expect the person to prove their point sometimes. We just, I don't know, we always end up being on the defensive rather than on the offensive side of it. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that does depend on if you are, you might find yourself in a situation where I'm convinced of position A, you're convinced of position B, but I'm really not interested in you, and I therefore don't care about convincing you of the correctness of my position, and so I wouldn't try. But in many cases on this particular topic, I am interested in the other person, and even if they aren't interested, I am, and I want to convince. So yes, I am on the defensive, and I think we many of us would be willing to take that on and fight uphill. To help another person. It is uphill. It is. Yeah. So this is some of the stuff. You came across some of these ideas in your reading, and I wanted to briefly touch on. We're not going to go into any of these, but it is important because if you start debating this with a person, if you start really having the discussion, these are some of the little things to be aware of that come up in the literature. If you read articles on the topic, in anything that comes up, we talk about this study of, and so much of what you had in your reading or if you research this topic centers on this idea of epistemology and just the study of knowledge as a branch of philosophy. If any of you wasted your parents' money in college on classes like that. But are we talking about, and this is where we start to get into it, are we talking about knowledge or belief? In the precise meaning sense of those words. We're talking about, for us, belief, but people want to debate knowledge. Okay? And knowledge is our understanding of a fact or a truth. Okay? In the strict sense of the definition of the word. You get it two ways. After the fact, by experience or deduction, or before the fact. Something that's axiomatic, we take it as a given. Okay? Can it be, and this is where we begin to go, and this is some of the stuff that is important because people will differ on these things. And you'll have to watch for the way the person is leaning. Is it in fact just a psychological state? Do people disagree about what's true?
Yeah.
All the time,
yeah.
Right? Of course they do. So there's no, even though we distinguish knowledge from belief and we tend to attach greater value to knowledge, I would argue that there's no common standard that can really be applied to knowledge that should give it any kind of great value in our eyes. And in fact, all of these things can be reduced to a psychological state, what one's willing to believe and what one's willing to accept as knowledge or reason their way to knowledge. Does logic count? This is what we do. This is what Dave was doing in his debate a little bit. Dave was offering logic, and he was inferring things about it. If this, then that. And therefore, that's evidence of God. Do any of you accept that? I would tell you that all of you do. You have. You're here tonight because you do, to some extent. You reason your way to a logical conclusion. Okay? Does subjective experience count? The famous American psychologist, James, said that belief was established by the way it had an operative effect on the person, on their psychology and things like that, and that was really the true measure of the efficacy of a thing, of how valuable it was. And although I don't think he was particularly, I'm not an expert on him, I don't think he was particularly religious, he argued for the belief of God on the basis of the subjective experience, on the effect it had on human beings, and very complex creatures and things like that, that there must be something to this religion stuff, essentially. More importantly, because this gets to the heart of the matter, the last one, can logic or evidence, can they rule in or out the supernatural? That's what's difficult here. We're discussing something that's where this idea of knowledge almost becomes irrelevant, because I'm not talking about the fact, I'm not trying to convince you of the fact that cats eat mice. And here are some cats. Watch as they eat mice, and therefore cats eat mice, right? This is not the supernatural, and I picked that word because outside the natural order is what it means, is not evaluated in the same way. So it almost becomes irrelevant. But this is what we're up against, and this is kind of where we have to get to, because we're not winning a debate on the basis of things that are evaluated in that more mundane, commonplace way. These are some of the arguments. Did you recognize these? I've changed them a little from the way they're presented in the reading. Exclude some, include some. But did you see these between Dave and Sean? Any of these versions of these variants, if you will?
Order, design, complexity, and Dave.
Okay. Do you recall exactly how he was trying to use that?
Trying to use it in how it's so complex and it's ordered and designed that it would take knowledge. That he was arguing that you couldn't hit that without God, without there being a God.
Is that what you were arguing? Okay.
There's not enough time or chance to come up with it.
That's a good point, though. You just misrepresented the other argument. You want to correct it?
There is enough time.
Yeah, the other side would argue that there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of mistakes before it came out right.
Do you see any of these others in their discussion? This is actually intended to be an affirmative argument. I perhaps explained it poorly here. Is this idea that it's associated with Thomas Aquinas, and it's this idea of, it's the argument from degree that for any quality that is, there must be something that possesses that to the maximum conceivable degree. Everything else must proceed from a being that is so great that nothing greater than that can be conceived of. It possesses every quality to the maximum degree kind of thing, and it's therefore the source of everything else. That's supported somewhat by modern ideas of science, that an output from any exchange or any interaction can't be greater than the original starting quantities, right? And the output will always be less because energy will be cast off in that and everything like that. And so you have that idea there that everything has to proceed from something greater than itself. is anybody familiar with these? Do these make sense? I know I fit it all on a slide, so really, really short stuff. The last one I threw in is one that's a little bit different, but actually appeals, I have found, to a lot of people. This idea of, you know, if everything's just this, if you're really a materialist philosophically, you know, and you want to argue from the geological sciences or the biological sciences and things like that, then why are you and I conscious? Conscious. Why are you conscious in the sense that we are so introspectively self-aware? How is that explained? Stop and think about your own consciousness and ask how that is explained from the biological sciences or the geological sciences and things like that. This is a very, I have found it's, I don't find it particularly neat. I just sort of take it for granted, but I'm not a deep thinker. But I have found that this is sometimes particularly compelling, though, that it gets people to stop and think. Because it's not, the consciousness is not readily explained by those other things. And it tends to point something well outside the materialistic mindset. The Dave was sort of a super advanced version of the that's sort of a new development that's intended to refute, I think, continued work of science today. I'm very simplistic, and I see the anthropic principle as just a very special advance upon argument from design or complexity, and that is that, and you would have to get deep into the subject to understand it, but suffice it to say that there's a lot of interesting things that are leading topics in the fields of physics and cosmology and astronomy that suggest that the universe as we know it seems to be remarkably fine-tuned is the phrase that's frequently used. Just so to support human life in remarkable ways. And we won't, it's not the purpose of this class to go into those, but they do make for a fascinating incursion into some study and some light reading. The things like I can't remember this movie, but the fine-tuning of the cosmological constant to like the 27th decimal place or something like that, where if it were changed by even one digit, 27 decimal place, and so affected the force of gravity by even the smallest bit, we couldn't exist. Little things that people don't take for granted, if our solar system didn't have the large planets that are out there, Neptune, things like that, you know that they absorb. Why don't we get wiped out by meteors and comets? Because we have those ridiculously giant planets that absorb them all before that are further out in the solar system that catch them for us. That we can look pretty far out in the space around us, and that arrangement doesn't happen a lot. You know, it's all rather even. Two small examples. There's a lot of them. That's the kind of the anthropic principle. The argument against that is, well, duh. That whole argument's ridiculous because if we weren't here, if it weren't a universe that supports human life, then would we be having this debate? So, there you go. Yes, sir.
I would say the other argument, the supporting argument, is there's billions and billions of stars, but how many billions of planets, and we happen to be on the lucky one?
Yes.
Good
point.
So,
yeah.
Looking at the planet. Just the right amount of seasons, the speed that the Earth is turning, if it was a little bit slower, we would burn up during the day, you know, if it was a little bit, we wouldn't have enough, the magnetic field that keeps the atmosphere intact, you know, that they're just now learning about.
Yeah.
interesting. The counter argument to that, of course, is that if those things were different, then some other form of life would have evolved here. Boys were. Yeah. So, and we're actually right on schedule. So,
who's had this debate in real life circumstances with a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker? Only two or three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Okay. Does it sometimes go like this? Are these things we're talking about? Is
Well, I don't get anywhere in life.
Well,
you can't prove anything.
Yeah.
They can't prove it, and you can't prove
it. Well, and the person I'm talking to starts giving me a bunch of scientific stuff, and I'm like,
okay.
And the best I can usually get to, the best, for someone who's very adamant in the position is to try to make them think. Because I'm actually the opposite. I throw scientific stuff at him, but that's how I know how to argue it. I can try.
Okay.
He'd be just as good to do it. But I was talking to a music major trying to explain the existence of God using science. It wasn't the greatest talent. But
hey.
Anybody else?
I had this debate with a few people at my last job. Obviously, the whole cosmos and space and all that stuff came up frequently, and I was...
You do believe in space, right?
It's there. That's the extent that I know about. And, I mean, they were bringing out all these things, and the whole time I'm just thinking, but that was my argument to use. Why are you using that to refute what I'm about to say? So, it just got frustrating when we just stopped talking about it, because... It's like anything I said, he would say, yeah, that's exactly right, and this and this and this, and so there can't be a God. And I'm going, but this and this and this, so there's God.
Well, why do we believe in God?
Because of faith.
Okay, can you explain a little more than that?
Yes, but we don't have a lot of time.
We'll give you 10 seconds.
Well, it could have just happened. It's so complex.
I agree. That is actually my argument. Mm-hmm. Is anybody familiar with Occam's razor?
The
simplest explanation for something is it should be the preferred response. I tend to go with that on the basis of mathematics. I'm not a mathematician, but I passed like all my business statistics classes and stuff like that. So I need basic statistics. And I find the mathematics. We want to be really scientific. All science has to get eventually get down to a mathematical expression. Because human spoken language is far too imprecise. And so I find the mathematical argument for the existence of God to be far more compelling than the mathematical arguments required to support an idea of 10 to the 500 possible false vacuum states in the form of parallel universes to get to the odds of one like ours with an appropriate periodic table of elements and such, and right electromagnetic field and tilt of the earth and all of that good stuff, and planets to protect us from asteroids and great things like that. So I find that the mathematics actually are very compelling, and it's far easier to believe that.
A bit bigger reason. It boils down to the risk that you want to take in life. If you don't believe that there's a God, there will be a bigger risk than if you believe that there's a God. I mean, at the end of the life, you got to think, do I want to risk my life for something that could be or could not be? I'd rather obey those laws and find out at the end there's a God, and I play the safe card and not believe it.
What was the name of that philosophy? Here's the answer I got to that. If the world, at the end of the world, I said, okay, so if
you're not wasting your life, I mean, you get this argument that you're wasting your life.
No, I'm fine. That what happens after we die.
Well, I mean, Paul says, when most of you did it, that's okay. So,
what I mean, you are gaining in this life. You're not just losing your life and putting all your bets, hoping that there's a God or not. You're still gaining something in this life and gaining the life after. It's not like you're throwing everything out and whatever it is at the end of the life.
Yeah. I know that was like 40 minutes of the whirlwind tour of really interesting
philosophy classes. And then, by the way, that would be, I'm convinced, I don't have much respect for the field, so I'm convinced that if one were to spend a whole 4 years pursuing a philosophy degree, you wouldn't get any further than we got in the last 40 minutes. So, I do think it's important because I have, only because I've fallen into the trap so many times where I start down this path and I realize that we're talking past one another. Because I don't appreciate that the person's trying to make a point on the, and I wanted to introduce, and I introduced it by way of just throwing them on slides and breezing through it, but I do want to make a point. I think you have to keep in mind the ways, because everybody's familiar with these. They might not know these names for these different arguments or lines of reasoning and things like that, but if you just invite people to start discussing it, they eventually circle around to these things. So I think there's some value in you being aware of those. The next time you're going to sit down and talk with somebody, listen to what they're saying and try and figure out where they're coming from and what might appeal and what might be a waste of time. You know, we're trying to gain a foothold over here with something that they're amenable to, that they're willing to entertain at least. And by being familiar with these different ways that people approach the topic, you might be have some advantage in picking that out in your discussion earlier rather than later. I've often failed to do that, and so I'm happily making my point over here about this, which the person neither understands nor cares about. You know, so it's just helpful to be familiar with the ways that humans, for many hundreds of years now, we don't really come off of this. We don't seem to invent anything new. One is literally, you know, is associated with Thomas Aquinas. So, I mean, it's not like we're coming up with new stuff on a regular basis. So you can kind of pretty much go with this set and know that somebody's somewhere in that playing field.
Right on?
What?
I want to boil it back to a simplistic argument, because that's what you were arguing for.
Yes.
Sometimes you go back to the simple. And the simple fact is that Paul said that all people have seen creation. And all people have seen God in the creation. Therefore, they are without excuse.
That's the argument from design.
Correct. So you have, I feel that, you know, you can argue with somebody and they have refused that. Once they've refused that completely, you know, is that where you shake the dust off of your feet? But if there is a glimmer there that you are showing them God through the creation and through all of the beauty of the creation, the complexity of the design, it still comes down to that. And you know that Paul said it, or the Holy Spirit through Paul said it. That's where you see God.
Thanks again to Sean and Dave for indulging us tonight. Appreciate it.